Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Please be seated. So the scripture that Matthias read is out of Psalms, and it's all about passing the story down to the next generation. It's part of the lectionary readings for today, as is the story of Joshua and the end of his life. So I had Matthias read that particular story, but I actually want to focus in on the story of Joshua. They connect, trust me, on this one. The story of Joshua, if you all don't know it, Joshua was Moses' right-hand guy. Whenever Moses was doing anything, Joshua was right there. Moses would go into a tent to pray, and the scripture would say, and Joshua would just be hanging around outside the tent. He wanted to learn everything that he could from Moses, learn about leadership, about being the man of God in the right place to lead God's people. When Moses died, Joshua was the one who led them across the Jordan River. Now, if you remember the story of the Jericho, the walls of Jericho, where the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, marched around Jericho, and they marched around 7 times for 7 days. They just marched around, then they went home, and then on the last one, they all blew their trumpets, and the walls came down. You probably heard that story in Sunday school, whether recently or whether a few decades ago. You know that story. It was Joshua that led those people. That wasn't Moses. Joshua led the people through all of their first campaigns as they were moving into the land of Canaan. Joshua knew what it was to witness the hand of God. And Joshua was always faithful to tell the story to every new generation that came, because they were slaves in Egypt and saw God do miraculous things. And Joshua saw that. Joshua saw all the miraculous things that God did when the Egyptian army was about to get them. And as they were crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, Joshua saw all of that. Joshua saw how God was faithful to feed them in the desert, to provide them water and bread and meat when they complained too much. Joshua knew the power of God. He knew the grace of God. And Joshua, at the end of his life, stood in front of the people and said, "You all know these stories. I've told you these stories over and over and over again. Your ancestors who witnessed all these things told you these stories over and over and over again. And said, if you are faithful to tell these stories, to share this, to follow your God, God will continue to do these amazing God stories in your life." And he says, "And I want you all to know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people, of course, in those situations, you ever been to a group think kind of experience where everybody's getting excited? They're like, us too! We will serve the Lord too! And one of my favorite parts of this passage, and why I didn't read it, because Joshua is not exactly what I would consider a people person. And so, you know, he kind of challenges them back and goes, no, you won't. I don't believe you at all. I don't think you're actually going to be faithful. And they're like, yeah, we totally will be faithful. We promise to be faithful. And he's like, I don't know. I don't think so. And they're like, we totally will. And like, it kind of goes on like that for a while. And the people, though, agreed. They go all in. And in fact, they go so all in, they set up a stone and say, we're going to set this stone up here, and it's going to be a remembrance for us and our generation. And Joshua dies. Not right there, but Joshua dies shortly after that. And the people continue to go into battle, and they continue to take the land. But now without Joshua's leadership and that commitment, they kind of go in a little more half-heartedly. They meet this one particular tribe, and instead of kicking them all the way out of the land, they make a little treaty with this one. The other one, they hit this group of people in this one part and chase them up into the mountains. And then they're like, okay, that mountain seems really high. Why don't we let them live in the mountain and we'll live down here? Another group of people said, hey, I got a great idea. Let's turn these into our employees. We'll just put them to work for us. And they didn't finish the job that God had called them to. And they stopped telling the stories to the next generation. So not only did they stop telling the stories, but then because they weren't following in a way that people could see the hand of God, the next generation didn't have their own God stories. This isn't part of the lectionary reading, but when you finish that chapter and you go into the next book of the Bible, which is called Judges, there's a disturbing little phrase. And the phrase is basically this. The next generation, who had not heard the stories of Joshua after all the elders had died, gave up the faith, turned to idols. Ministries go through cycles. All ministries go through cycles. Typically, the cycle begins with something revolutionary. A revival comes to town. Maybe a new town is formed. Maybe there's a Sunday school in town and they decide to grab stones from the neighboring mountains and build a little chapel over in the corner over there. Something exciting happens and a group of people gather around a cause and they experience the grace of God. They put themselves out in a space where God's hand has to be visible because there's no way we could accomplish this without God. They go through hard times and they do it together by the grace of God. And then growth continues, excitement builds, and then there's a plateau. The plateau is always the most dangerous place to be. That place where we're doing okay. Israel hit a plateau. There was still work to do, but they were no longer slaves. They weren't in Egypt anymore. The Egyptians weren't chasing them. They weren't starving in the desert anymore. They'd seen the hand of God knock down the walls of Jericho, and Israel was now established as a presence in the land. And they decided to plateau. They decided the words that I think are the most deadly words for any group of people doing anything. They decided it was good enough. That's good enough. They stopped living in such a way that required God to act. Churches do that too. Churches sometimes in their history find themselves in an extraordinary moment in time. They see great growth. They see their Sunday school programs filled. They see their churches filled. Their 2, 3, 4 services. They're taking multiple buses to mission trips or to whatever. And then they say, we're doing okay. We're doing all right. And you start to plateau. But then what happens is that after a while, the next generation, who no longer has stories of their own because we're just satisfied with our present state, that we've been considered ourselves good enough, The next generation no longer has the stories. Not only do they not have our stories, our own God's story. You know what I mean by our own God's story. To be able to say to the next generation, here is where the hand of God has been powerful in my life. Here's where we have seen God. Theology is something that often we're faithful to share. We want to talk about the things of God. But the theology of God, the cerebral conversations about God, are not as powerful as your story of God, your story of God. You know, my boys and I, we love a good theological debate. Like, we love having conversations about theology. And those are fun. And my boys have a different theology than I have. And some places they agree, and some places we disagree. I'm sure that would be true with all of us here. But one thing that I always try and do is I try and make sure they understand what our family's God story is. To be able to see the faithfulness of God throughout our years and throughout our lives. Every time that I see God showing up, I want to show my boys so that no matter what their theology is, that they cannot deny the hand of God in their life. If we want to raise our children to know God and be passionate about the life of the church, it requires us to do the same thing that Joshua does. To be faithful, to keep telling our God story, the story of our family, the story of our life, the story of our church to the next generation. Why did we even begin this thing that we're doing? Why do we do this every week? Certainly it's not for religious instruction. That's super boring. It's got to be about something deeper, something more passionate. If we're expecting the church to do the job of engaging our children in faith, we're setting the church and our children up to fail. Our job is to remind children of the faithfulness of God, not just theology. And then we need to invite them into a life that helps them create their own God story. As a youth worker, I'm constantly fighting against the concept that mission trips, service projects, midweek groups, Sunday school is for the kids. If you want to know mission trips that are more than just a fond memory, it'll be the mission trips that adults plan and invite children to, not just a kid mission trip. If you want your children to have a life of service to the poor, go regularly as a family to a soup kitchen, help out at a food bank or a shelter, volunteer. Because our next generation needs to see how we follow God into something great, how we live out our ahead with the hand of God, not just good enough. I'm concerned that there's a different lesson our children are receiving. If you want your children to believe that work is the most important thing that you do, well, please, you know how to do that. Just work all the time. If you want your children obsessed with sports, that's what you should focus on. Focus in on sports. And I'm not discounting any of those things. But do our children know the priority that the Spirit of God has in our lives, because God creates a God story? You know what serving the Lord is? When Joshua says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord," it's finding yourself in the heart of all it can mean to be human. It's not becoming religious or missing out on cool stuff because we're doing something at church. But it's committing ourselves to a different kind of life, a better kind of life, a life that is on the edge of adventure and thrill and is filled with love and laughter and joy and each other and people that support you, a family of God. That's what serving the Lord is. As we close, I've got two invitations for you. Parents, I am so happy to see all of you here. I know as a parent, I have learned that I am on the absolute front line of my own children's faith formation. I can't devote it to anyone else. I'm not going to give it up to anyone else. I do enjoy the church and how the church supplements it and supports it, and you all are a huge part of the faith formation of my children. You can see how faithful all three of my children are that are here. I just have one. I just have one kid here, but that happens sometimes too, right? That's a real thing. But we are responsible to be faithful to raise our own children in the faith. And for those of you who feel like, I don't know how to do that, I want to challenge you. I am offering a little bit of a study these days. You've heard it for the last few weeks. I'm offering a faith at home study, a do-it-yourself study that you can do at home. All you need is to get a hold of the book that we're working on and then read chapter. The chapters are short, and then have conversations with me via email, via coffee, via whatever. But I want to challenge you to consider how you do faith at home. Part of the mission of our church is helping you accomplish that. The second challenge I want to do is I want to invite whoever feels the call to this to consider being part of an intergenerational team at this church. If you enjoyed what you saw today, that a mix of adults, a mix of children, a mix of youth, if you enjoyed that, that's not a task I can accomplish by myself. That is a task that requires us to come together as a family. You have a piece of paper, an insert in your bulletin. On the other side of that children's ministry insert is completely blank, like the children's ministry is, or children's bulletin was. If you are interested in finding out what would it be like to be on an intergenerational team here at Wilson to help us accomplish the good things that are going on here, I'm going to ask you to just write your name and then say, yeah, I'm in, or whatever, and hand it to me after the service. I would love that. We don't have to have a conversation right there. I'll just tuck it in my pocket, and we'll have a conversation later. But beyond all of that, I don't want us to ever stop telling the story. Ever.